You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thank you for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. Okay, there's been a lot made about these Chris Paul rumors, and so I thought we should just get into that a little bit more, David. We talked about it at the beginning of the week, but there's a whole lot to just sort of carve into here. I want to get to some of the other trade targets that the Heat could pair with Jimmy Butler later on. But let's start with Jimmy Butler, who will finally be introduced as a member of the Miami Heat during a press conference on Friday. You'll be able to watch that on the team's website. It's been a long time coming, and something Heat fans have been waiting for, but Butler has spent the summer in Senegal and only recently got back to Miami, at least according to his Instagram, where he's already working at the team facility. But this is exciting, David. We'll get our first public comments from Jimmy Butler. I'm sure he'll be asked about why he decided on the Heat this summer. But Jimmy Butler, the era is about to get started here.
Yeah, this is, the practice sessions and seeing him with Tyler Hero and everything right. else, those things have all been great, but they're kind of just like appetizers, whetting the appetite mm-hmm. almost a little bit. This is the first real interaction that he'll have, I think, with Miami media, other than maybe a phone call. And it's just, it's great to kind of see how he'll respond. This is, I think, it will be a big departure for him over the last couple of seasons. Obviously, last year in Minnesota was somewhat tumultuous. Even in Philadelphia, when he was traded to the 76ers, this was already with the start of the season. So, you know, it didn't give him the same kind of opportunity of being able to just relax, enjoy the process, no pun intended, et cetera. So, I mean, this has been a whirlwind over the last couple of years, even kind of if you think about how he was traded to the Timberwolves right. even two seasons ago.
And this is the first time he's picked a team. And so that's right. what I think a lot of this press conference is going to be about. Why did you pick the Miami Heat? You've been to all these other places. Why did you pick to come to Miami? We're going to get into all that on Friday after the press conference. We'll have a podcast breaking that down. But let's move over to this Chris Paul stuff because, like I said, we talked about it at the beginning of the week. It has not gone away at all. And I'm not surprised. You said this on Monday. It's probably because it's September. There's just not a whole lot going on. We're ramping up into media day, and then we'll get a lot more content after that. And it seems like everybody – and Chris Paul's a big name, and he matters, and he can make a difference in the league in some way. And I think a lot of people look at the Heat, not only because the reports are that they are interested. Now, the degree of interest is reported differently depending on your source there, but they're certainly interested. And I think on paper it makes a lot of sense in the same way that Jimmy Butler to the Heat made a lot of sense just from an ethos sort of way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think Dan Devine, or Devine? I'm not sure exactly how it's pronounced.
Devine.
The Ringer. Is it Devine? Okay. He wrote about this for the Ringer, kind of hinted at how well he'd fit there. And he did talk about the potential conflicts with Jimmy Butler and things of that sort. But yes, from, as you said, a kind of philosophical perspective, he does work very well in Miami because he's so determined, because he's so dogged, because he already has some connection to Miami. He's already been training there alongside Dion Waiters. Obviously, a close friendship with Dwayne Wade, so he knows exactly how the Miami front office works and what he needs to know. It does make sense on a lot of levels as far as what you would expect from a natural fit, you know. But at the same time, there is the potential conflict with Jimmy Butler, although I don't see it's as great as a lot of people might expect.
I'm not worried about that. I mean, Chris Paul was able to manage playing next to James Harden. I don't think that the Jimmy Butler thing is going to be that. At the end of the day, I mean, you've got to be able to play with other great players. And I don't know that that's ever been the problem with Jimmy Butler. The problem with Jimmy Butler has been, does he view the players he's playing with, rightly or wrongly, right. as other great players? And
I think
in Minnesota,
they both
he
share
didn't.
This trait, actually. I think that actually that seems like a trait that they both, you know, thrive on, is high expectations for everybody. I know one of the things that always drives Chris Paul the most is that he hates losing. With Jimmy, I think he likes winning more than he hates losing, but he just always wants to be the best, and that's yeah. kind of ties them together. So at the same time, they demand a lot of each other. They demand a lot of their teammates. And if they don't meet if those teammates don't meet those expectations, that's when you're on the outs. And I can only imagine that their relationship would thrive. I think it would be a great one, and it would, you know, it would raise the level of expectations for everybody in that team pretty consistently.
Well, let's talk about that, because how much would it raise? I mean, it would raise expectations. But we just talked about this idea that maybe even without Chris Paul, the Heat might be the third best team in the Eastern Conference. I don't think it would shock anybody to put them at three. Zach Lowe put them at three, and Chris Paul's not on the team. He put them at three with Jimmy Butler being the best team and then everybody else being who they are.
Right.
So Chris Paul, I don't know if you add Chris Paul, he now becomes the Heat now become the first or second best. I don't think that the gap between Miami and Milwaukee and Philadelphia, who are the two clear front runners in the Eastern Conference, the two clear best teams in the conference, Chris Paul isn't enough that he makes up that gap. But what I do think it does is when you get into a playoff situation, Miami's chances for winning a playoff series with Chris Paul, I think, are much better than they are without Chris Paul. Just this season, right?
I think, yeah. I think the strength during the regular season would actually be the depth that this team has that you'd probably have to break up in order to acquire Paul in the first place, whether it's expiring contracts like Goran or James Johnson, et cetera. Either way, those are all capable, productive players that will contribute to Miami's chances of winning. I mean, there's going to be an opportunity for, you know, for all of them to step up at one point and contribute at a high level, especially if there's an injury or something like that. So you're going to rely on those guys over the course of the regular season. And so you kind of take a little bit of a step back, although you take a step forward, as you mentioned, in the playoffs, because having a guy like Chris Paul does bring, does raise the ceiling of this team and postseason quality of play.
Yeah, I think you could talk me into Chris Paul. We'll get into some of the pros and cons in the next segment here, but you could talk me into Chris Paul, and I could talk myself into Chris Paul. He puts Miami on the map from a contender to make the NBA Finals. He really does, and I don't know that the Heat are there right now. I don't think that they are, but if you add Chris Paul, and let's say you don't have to get rid of Justice Winslow or Bam Adebayo, these players who we expect to pop a little bit this year and really contribute at a high level, we're talking about Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, Justice Winslow, Bam Adebayo, and whatever other parts that you would still have after a trade, possibly still having Tyler Hero off the bench. I would imagine you would have Tyler Hero off the bench because I don't think you'd have to give up those guys. Because if you're Oklahoma City, I think your number one concern is just getting off Chris Paul's salary. I don't think there would be too much of an expectation to go get a huge asset in return. It would moreover just be, hey, let's clear the decks and really, you know, take this $40 million hit off of our salary cap so that we could really go into this rebuild appropriately. But the contract, man, still bothers me. The contract just still bothers me, especially when you consider what the Heat want to do in the future. If you want to lock yourself into a Jimmy Butler, Chris Paul trio or duo with Chris Paul being 34 years old, it's not bad. It would win 50 plus games in the East. I just don't know that the Heat want to be in the position where they're locked into that. But we'll talk about that more next. You're listening to Locked On Heat.
Long day at work, still stuck at the office. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON.
We'll talk about some trade targets later on in the show, but let's dig into this Chris Paul stuff more, specifically his salary. The cost of the flexibility. The reason you don't trade for Chris Paul, the 2021 free agency. The 2020 free agency we've talked about does not matter. There's nobody coming up this next summer. Doesn't matter. If you can trade for somebody now that's not Chris Paul, just anybody, if you can make a deal now that, you know, still doesn't allow for some flexibility this summer but allows for flexibility in 2021, you still do it because next summer's free agency doesn't matter. It's going to be the opposite of this last one. It's going to be the opposite of the 2021 one, which could be potentially even greater than the summer we just witnessed. I mean, Chris Paul will have a player option for more than $40 million, and the Heat will need that cap space to chase free agents during the summer of 2021. Those free agents could include Kawhi, LeBron, Giannis, Paul George, Bradley Beal, Victor Oladipo, and a whole lot of other guys. Never mind the next couple of years, David. This is why you don't make the trade, especially when it will probably cost some asset of some kind. You don't want to give up an asset. You don't want to give up that flexibility, because if you're the Heat and you're saying, look, we've got Jimmy Butler now, we would rather pair him, I think, with Bradley Beal or Victor Oladipo or, best case scenario, somebody like Giannis or Kawhi if they decided to move teams. If you have Chris Paul, the only way you do the Chris Paul trade is if you have a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, I'm gonna decline that player option. But I don't see Chris Paul doing that.
I do. I think he'd be open to it, to be honest with you. I think I mean, in an era of kind of player empowerment where they realize they can still make a lot of money. He's not been for want of endorsements. He had that kind of All-State deal for a long time now. And he's Chris Paul. He's made a lot of money over the course of his career. Money doesn't buy him everything. Like
if he wants to win a ring, maybe you're right. Yeah.
If he's on the team in 2 years and he sees the best opportunity of winning a championship still in Miami because for whatever reason nobody else wants him, he can't go to L.A. and play alongside LeBron or whatever, I could see it. I really could.
The pitch then to the Heat would, okay, let's say Pat Riley calls Sam Presti tomorrow. Hey, let's talk about Chris Paul a little bit more. Okay, fine. Let me get into touch with Chris Paul's agent. Talk to Chris Paul. Hey, we're going to make a trade here. You're going to be able to leave Oklahoma. You're going to get to come to Miami, where you've been spending your entire offseason training anyway. So you don't have to go to Oklahoma. Forget it. Just have the movers show up. Bring your stuff here. But we're only going to do this deal if you agree right now to opt out that year of 2021, because we have big plans of not only having you and Jimmy Butler, but you're looking around the league. There's a bunch of big twos around. We're going to make a big three again in 2021. You're the point guard. We've got Jimmy Butler on the perimeter. Imagine that with somebody like Bradley Beal or Oladipo or even Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron. We're going after all of them. What do you think? And if you're Chris Paul, I think you're right. If that $40 million doesn't mean as much to you as finally reaching the pinnacle and having a legitimate championship run, yeah, I think that makes sense. Now, I don't know necessarily the cap dynamics of it. I don't have the spreadsheet in front of me, but could you opt out if you're Chris Paul and re-sign at what? I mean, you're going to be a 36-year-old point guard. I guess at that point you would just agree to whatever's left over. Pat Riley would say, hey, look, we're going to take care of you. It's just not going to be $40 million taking care of you.
Yeah.
Could you get half of that if you're Chris Paul?
At 36, depending on how he plays over the next couple of years and barring any kind of significant injury, yeah, it's tough to envision it. And again, look, we're talking about $40 million in Florida.
Yeah.
And for $40 million in Oklahoma City is different than, $40 million, or it's similar to like $20 million in Florida, too. So, and
yeah, I don't know what the taxes are in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Either way, I mean, look, he has the opportunity to play for something important. I totally could see him agreeing to this. I don't think it's really all that difficult.
You might be talking.
I know we're looking at a lot of money, but yeah, I think he could absolutely opt out and be willing to take the hit there. I like the move. I'm a little apprehensive about it, but at the same time, now you made a point earlier though, and I'm not so sure about it though, is whether or not Miami would be in the same tier as the Philadelphias and Milwaukee's.
You think they would be if they traded for Chris Paul?
I don't think they would.
No, I agree with you. I don't think they would either. I think
I thought you mentioned that they would be more legitimate title contenders with the acquisition of Chris Paul.
They would be. Their odds would get better. Like Las Vegas, their odds would get better. I don't know that I would make them favorites over Milwaukee or Philadelphia, but in a playoff setting, having Chris Paul on this team versus not having Chris Paul on this team sets you up for a more competitive series. So I don't know. It helps them a little bit. I don't know if it ultimately helps get them there, but I'll go back to this. The same reason I think that the Heat could absolutely finish third in the East is they got a ton of depth. You finally have a top 11 player, top 10-ish type player in Jimmy Butler to be your alpha, which we all agree is going to rise the tide in Miami. And you got guys like Justice and Bam who are expected to have a breakout year, and you got the best coach in the conference, and it's not close. So
Brad Stevens?
No, he still coaches the Celtics, but I'm talking about Eric Spoelstra. You know that. So I don't appreciate that jab there, but it's not even close. I will say that again. It's not even close that you have the best coach in the conference. So,
Come on. What about that out of bounds play? That's
true. Yeah, that thing where like the guy jumps and then they pass it to him and he dunks and then it takes 1 second. Yeah, that's all you need in the playoffs. Just run that 75 times.
That goes out to our friends over at Locked On Celtics, I guess.
Screw him. John Corrales, you don't know what you're talking about. John Corrales still thinks Paul Pierce and Dwayne Wade is arguable from a legacy standpoint.
He does not.
Oh, yeah. Me and him had a long Twitter argument about this.
Get out of town.
And he kept saying, he's like, I don't think that Paul Pierce has a better legacy. I just think that it's worth having the conversation. And my argument to him was, it is absolutely not worth having that conversation. This is not a conversation you get to have. This is not a conversation that you get to have. It's not close. Let's not make this a conversation. This is, what is that rule in politics? The square or the window? You know what I'm talking about?
I do not.
There's a name for it. It's somebody's window. And the idea is that in politics, you will just say the most crazy thing just to, not necessarily to get somebody on your side and agree with you on that crazy thing, but just to nudge the center of the conversation, the moderate part of the conversation, a little bit closer to your side. And that's exactly what John Corrales is doing. He is talking crazy, with Paul Pierce being comparable to Dwayne Wade, is from when, you know, peaks, legacy, whatever you want to say. He's talking crazy about it, and I think he's just trying to make the conversation so that we're allowed to have the conversation. He's trying to nudge that window closer to his side of crazy town, and I don't appreciate it.
This conversation has completely gone off the rails. I feel bad, having even mentioned Brent Stevens, and then
now I started railing so at John Corrales, our co-host, like he had anything to do with it. He's wrong in mostly everything, though, so that's fine. So he also does Wednesdays Locked On NBA, the day after we do it. So, well, and it's not as good
easy
as ours.
To follow up after us, you know. Oh, it's whatever.
It makes us look better. Anyway, John's a friend. I just want to say that to our listeners who think I'm being really mean to him.
Of those free agents, okay, the potential 2021 class. Let's say Chris Paul is acquired and he does opt out. And any one of these guys is available. Who is the best fit alongside Jimmy and Paul?
It's Beal, right? It has to be Beal because of the shooting. Yeah, we're not including like Giannis, LeBron, or Kawhi. Like obviously, you take whichever one of those guys come if they decide. Barring,
would you take LeBron at what would he be then? 36, 37?
Yeah, I would take LeBron. I'm sorry, I'm a LeBron apologist. Until he is not the best player in the league, he's the best player in the league. And
a lot of people don't think he's the best player in the league.
To me, he's still the best player in the league. Until he's innocent until proven guilty, he's earned that to me.
What I can't recall now. One of the national lists came out, and he's like top five.
Yeah, Rob Mahoney has him at four.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah, he has him at four. He's projecting, and I'm look. Rob Mahoney is, I would say, a progressive NBA scholar. I think I'm a little bit more of a conservative NBA person, and so I will still give the benefit of the doubt to LeBron. I will still do that. But
who did he have ranked above him? Giannis?
He had Giannis at one, Kawhi. And he didn't have KD because he didn't include him.
James Harden, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, it was Harden. So, but yeah, I think Beal is the obvious choice. But I want to go back to Chris Paul before we move on to the next segment here and talk about some other trade candidates, not Chris Paul. But I think you and I are talking ourselves into this a little bit, but it would take a whole lot of godfathering from Pat Riley to make it so that it was the ideal situation for the Miami Heat and for Chris Paul. I think that's where we're kind of landing at here.
Yeah, the debate seems to be, and obviously both teams have sources and reporters kind of shilling out information that reflects positively on the team. Like from the Oklahoma City perspective, it's like, well, we want to get a star asset in return, right, or a young asset like Tyler Herro. That I think that was the original report, was that they did want Tyler Herro in any kind of trade for Paul, versus Miami saying, well, we want trade, we want draft picks available as well in the trade. And, right, and Oklahoma City kind of saying, no way, that's not going to happen. So who knows what the reality is? I mean, I'm sure Presti would probably be willing to include one of those picks from Miami in the future, yep, in order to unload Chris Paul's salary.
I think that's where you would land, is that they probably part with one first-round pick and Chris Paul, and Miami gives up basically salary filler, but that salary filler would be players who can contribute and help Oklahoma City and give them an option to either bring them back or part ways and create cap space. That would probably be where you land in the middle, right?
I think so. Like, yeah, it would behoove both teams. Like, if Oklahoma City is going to, have a soft tank, if they're going to be able to sell their team without Russell Westbrook, without Chris Paul, without Kevin Durant, obviously, it's let's wait and see. Like, you gave me an opportunity. This is from Presti's perspective. You gave me an opportunity to build a team once. I built a perennial title contender that unfortunately fell apart because of the tight wad nature of our owner. But if you give me an opportunity to build a team, I will do so. And I think,
yeah, maybe he leaves out the owner slam when he's pitching it to the owner.
Well, this is more to the Oklahoma City fan base. Like he can tell them, look, don't worry about who we're getting in return. Because I think a lot of people would say, well, why are you getting back, 40-year-old Goran Dragic for
Well, the other thing that could help Paul. Oklahoma City in a weird way as far as a PR side is concerned is if Chris Paul turns this player empowerment thing into something that he can leverage the way that Anthony Davis leveraged it or the way that Jimmy Butler leveraged it and just say, like, look, get me out of here. I want to go to a winning team. If the Thunder come out and they're 11-28, you know, through the first several games, he could just say, like, look, get me out of here. Like, I'm not happy. You're not happy. You want to get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander the ball more. That's not going to happen while I'm here. Trade me for nothing. I don't know.
He won't do that. Like, has he ever missed the playoffs? Even when he was in a really bad New Orleans Pelicans team? Like, I don't think he's capable of losing. Like, I think he just hates the idea so much.
And if he is losing, he'll just say, get me the hell out of here.
But they won't lose. That's what I'm saying. You're down on the Thunder. Like, I think Chris Paul at a very high level, Steven Adams and Danilo Gallinari, all those different players on that roster, like, I still think it's a good roster. I understand the Western Conference is the Western Conference, but they can go beat up on Washington. They can go beat up on Charlotte. They can go beat up on Dallas in the West. I mean, there's an opportunity there for them to make the playoffs.
We disagree, but you mentioned Danilo Gallinari there, and I want to talk about him next because he could be on the trade block too. We'll talk about that next. We're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. All right. I think we're somewhere in the middle with Chris Paul. It'll take some godfathering from Pat Riley. If it doesn't cost assets and you're able to maintain that 2021 flexibility, I think it's something that you can explore, depending, obviously, on the specifics and the details, but... the Heat are still going to want to make the most out of Jimmy Butler's window. And there could be stars available, and we know that when stars become available, the Heat are going to be involved one way or the other, better or for worse. They are going to be involved in at least the trade discussions, because I think that's what the pitch was to Jimmy Butler. Hey, come here, be the alpha right now, but the plan is we're going to pair you with another superstar player. We're going to go chase a title at some point while you're in Miami. So I wanted to bring up some other... players who could be either on the trade block now or in the future. And one of them is Chris Paul's teammate on the Thunder right now, Danilo Gallinari. I've seen his name thrown around on the internet a little bit lately. This is a guy who scored 19 points a game last season, a really good season for the Clippers, borderline all-star year in the West. Theoretically, he'd be a great fit at power forward, especially next to Bam. Yeah. He could stretch the floor. He could even play a little small forward for you. He gives you shooting and size on the perimeter, which is not something that the Heat have right now. Obviously, depending on what the Heat would have to give up, that could be a really good fit, but could he stay healthy? That's the question.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I'm as high on Gallinari as a lot of people are. I know he had a fantastic season for the Clippers last year, and maybe he is a little under the radar, but the long-term injury concerns have always been something that impacts my overall view of him and perspective. Like, I know he's an upgrade over Kelly Olynyk. That's not fair to say. But at the same time, like, he's gotten a lot more opportunities. He's a more dynamic scorer than Olynyk will ever be. But I'm not so sure you'd want to engage in a trade for Gallinari, right?
I mean, ESPN has him at 91. Sports Illustrated has him. Yeah. And Sports Illustrated has him at 50. Our friend Rob Mahoney has him at 50. So that's the range. I mean, you said people are split on Gallinari. And I think I'm more towards you where...
He's 31.
Yeah, and he's look, he has played
for like 10 years, right?
He's played 60-plus games in two of the last 3 years. But in that year that he didn't play 60-plus, he played like 20-something, like 21 games or something.
21 games, yeah. 21 games for the Clippers his first year there. Well,
maybe,
they shut him
maybe
down.
You hook him up at DBC or whatever and say, hey, do the Dwayne Wade thing, get your treatment right, go play 75 games for us. But I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't – like the only thing – the good thing about Gallinari is he's an expiring contract. So you get 1 year out of him. Maybe you're able to nudge a little bit further into the playoff mix with Gallinari, and if all it costs you is maybe a long-term contract and helps open up that 2021 flexibility. But if you're the Thunder, hey, maybe we get a younger player.
I didn't realize he shot 43% last year on 5.5 attempts per game from three-point range.
He's a really good shooter. What we're talking about with Gallinari potentially, if he's healthy, and we've talked about this before, who do you need next to Jimmy Butler? You need a 20-point-per-game scorer. The Heat don't really have that. We don't know who that's going to be. It could be Dragic, could be Justice, could be Dion. We don't know exactly who it's going to be. If you trade for Gallinari, he's it. He's giving you 19, 20 points per game. That's his average. That's what he's going to give you. That is huge for the offense. And so, if he can stay healthy for 1 year, it just helps you a little bit this season. And then all of a sudden he comes off the books. So if I'm the Heat, I do it, but only if it costs me like James Johnson and some filler or something like that. But I'm not giving up any type of future asset for Gallinari whatsoever. It would just have to make sense from a contract.
What's Oklahoma City's incentive to do so? If his contract's coming off the bench, is it just to downgrade at the player?
Yeah, and just to get something for him. I mean, if you're the Thunder, and let's say you're particularly fond of Kelly Olynyk's game, maybe you do that. Like, hey, give us Kelly Olynyk. He's under contract. We don't figure to be players in free agency anytime soon, so the cap flexibility doesn't really matter. Maybe throw a second-round pick their way or something, but that might be it. You know, maybe some cap relief.
So Olynyk in a second, do you think, would be able to pry Gallinari off Oklahoma City's roster? I don't see that.
I don't know. Kevin Love? I mean, we've talked about that at nauseum. I don't know if we need to go into that, but he could be available. Kyle Lowry? Another guy, if Toronto decides to blow it up, you know, he makes a lot of sense.
Know, Lowry does. Love, I'm not so sure. Like, as much as I think he's a great fit there, I'm wondering now if you know, you're looking long-term in the Heat's future, and the one of the benefits of acquiring Paul is that he might be willing to opt out, would Love be willing to do the same thing? I don't even know if he has a player option, but his contract, I think, extends for beyond just the 2021 free agency, so he might hinder Miami's ability to acquire a tertiary star much more completely than Paul's contract would.
That's a really good point. His deal expires in 2023. So you would have to get off a whole lot of... Yeah, you're right. That would definitely hinder Miami. So you're probably right. That's probably not going to happen. Kyle Lowry expiring contract. Don't know that necessarily makes a ton of sense unless you're Miami. You want to get his bird rights and bring him back. But those are the obvious names we've talked about before other than Gallinari. Couple of names that I want to just bring up before we end it here. The Pelicans. I think the Jrue Holiday, Zion Williamson thing could work. It has some legs, but I don't think that's a long-term answer in New Orleans. Do they try to move off of Jrue Holiday if he comes out gangbusters and they could get something really for him? Do they just try to move him and go completely into this rebuild, into the window of Zion Williamson? Because Jrue doesn't fit that window, he would be an incredible fit next to Jimmy Butler. And if it costs you something like Justice Winslow and Kelly Olynyk, if the Heat go into the year, they decide, you know what, Winslow's plateaued a little bit, let's give him a change of scenery. Winslow and Olynyk, you know, Olynyk could fit well next to Zion. He could play, you know, you can mix him up between the 4 and the 5. It would sort of be like what Giannis and Brooke Lopez do in Milwaukee, but like the light version of that with Zion and Olynyk. So there's a template there to follow if you're the Pelicans. I don't know. Jrue Holiday, thoughts?
I like the acquisition. I think he's really highly underrated. He's a fantastic defender, solid scorer. I mean, probably along like Mike Conley as far as a player that just has never really been able to achieve an all-star selection because of playing in the Western Conference, you know?
But yeah, Jrue's time, one all-star really came when he played for Philly in the Eastern Conference. Yeah,
yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was like 20.
If you change Winslow and Olynyk to Winslow and James Johnson, I'd be much more willing to do it. Like, I still like Kelly's impact, especially as a starting four. I think you'd get a lot more opportunity.
If you're New Orleans, I think you want some shooting in return, right? That would be the thing. James Johnson isn't necessarily a shooter. But
no, he's not. I think
Jrue Holiday might cost more than Winslow and Olynyk too. By the way, like Jrue Holiday is a really good player. If they put him on the trade block, there are going to be a lot of good offers for him.
Yeah, why? What's the incentive for David Griffin, who is a very shrewd negotiator? Yeah. Right. I mean, he's been the star of the offseason, I think, in many many ways, acquiring not just Zion, being able to move Anthony Davis for all the players. Like, and you've got Lonzo Ball there. Do you need a point guard like Justice Winslow unless you're going to be sticking him in the wing again? Like,
it might cost you like Tyler Hero, Winslow to stick him on the wing, and Olynyk or something. I don't think it happens. I think if they put Jrue Holiday up, then they're going to get a better offer than something Miami could be and would be willing to offer. Another name I wanted to bring up, Gordon Hayward.
Like, I'm so torn on Hayward. Like, he just seems... Like, I still think he's a capable player, but everybody's, like, sold out on him. And then there's the differing view where some people still overrate him.
Well, I think you could buy low on him. I think you could buy low on him for that reason. Now, let's say in Boston it works out such that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown overtake him for that starting wing position. And I think it sounds like generally people expect the starting lineup in Boston to be Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, whoever they play at center.
Enes Kanter.
Yeah, so Enes Kanter, unless, you know, they could bring him off the bench and whatever. It doesn't matter, but let's... Okay, Enes Kanter, whatever. we saw it last year. They kind of turned the tide on their season when they put Gordon Hayward on the started bringing Gordon Hayward off the bench and put Marcus Smart in that starting unit. That could be their most useful lineup again this season. If that's the case, I can't imagine that Gordon Hayward's going to be very happy in Boston. I can't imagine that Boston would be very happy having Hayward at that contract playing that kind of role, understanding that the future of your team are the guys that played in the Olympics, not Gordon Hayward. And so, or not the Olympics, I'm sorry, the World Cup. But, and we know that Miami wanted Gordon Hayward. We know that Gordon Hayward was interested in Miami before he went for Boston. Danny Ainge and Pat Riley have made deals in the past. It's not unheard of. We know that Danny Ainge was really high on Justice Winslow and offered 4 first-round picks for him to leap Miami and with Charlotte and draft him at that spot. If it costs you Goran Dragic and Justice Winslow, and if you're Boston, you could have a real use for Goran Dragic coming off the bench and being your scorer off the bench because they have a lot of concerns there depth-wise. Dragic and Justice Winslow contracts make sense. You get a young player in Winslow who I think would fit really well next to Kemba Walker. In that backcourt, defensive-minded guy, you could pick up the premier guard on the other team. I'm not ruling it out. I don't think Gordon Hayward's on the trade block right now, but it wouldn't shock me if by February he were.
My concern is that we saw Hayward wilt playing alongside Kyrie Irving, and I just don't know if that translates as poorly or even worse playing alongside Jimmy Butler. Like, that's not to say that Hayward isn't a hard worker, a capable player, given the right circumstances, but I don't see his personality meshing well with Butler's at all. And if you're going to be making this acquisition and trading away Justice Winslow in order to do so, like you're taking a big risk there. And I don't know that I think Jimmy Butler would not want to play with Gordon Hayward, to be 100% honest with you. I'm not sure that's just a feeling I get more than anything else, but I think he would chew Hayward up and spin him out, and I think that would be dangerous.
It depends on what Hayward looks like, right? Like, if he can return to being a top 20 player.
I don't think he'll ever get over that injury. Like, I think he still has some psychological obstacles there, and I just don't know that he's ever going to be as confident and arrogant, aggressive as he was. You know, not arrogant, aggressive.
No, but arrogant, he wasn't arrogant, but to fit next to Jimmy Butler, you almost need a level of arrogance, right? And that's why we love the Chris Paul, the Deion Waiters fit, we like that. The Justice Winslow, like, playoff Justice, we like that fit. Screaming at Ben Simmons, we like that. One other guy, speaking of arrogance, D'Angelo Russell. Now, that's a fit that I really like. We know that the Heat liked D'Angelo Russell during the Justice Winslow draft. They just couldn't draft him. They weren't picking number 2. He could be made available for trade if the Warriors decide, you know what, let's go get some assets. Let's go get some young players. Let's fill out the depth of this bench. We're getting Klay Thompson back. We like the trio. We think this could lead us forward of Steph, Klay, and Draymond. We just really need to shore up this bench because we don't have one right now. And if you're the Warriors, Justice Winslow would be a really good fit for that team. A guy like James Johnson, I think, would fit nicely. I think a guy like Kelly Olynyk, Goran Dragic would be incredible to replace that super six-man status that they had with Andre Iguodala and, to a lesser extent, Sean Livingston off the bench. Could you put something with Winslow, Dragic, and some filler for D'Angelo Russell? I mean, first of all, let's talk about the fit, D'Angelo Russell with Jimmy Butler. That would be killer.
I think it would work out. Yeah, I think it would work perfectly. Yeah. I think he's a good enough shooter, aggressive enough. I think he's a solid playmaker, and you know, you can trade the ball as far as who's handling it, initiating offense. It works pretty well. I don't have any concerns about that. From Golden State's perspective, you know, you've got Klay, Steph, and Draymond locked in long term. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be able to still say, I'd like to compete for another title opportunity at some point down the road? And partly the best way of doing so is by acquiring depth and acquiring some players, like you said, to fill out the bench. That makes a lot of sense, too. Like, if you're viewing D'Angelo Russell as not a long-term piece in Golden State, as many people don't, then the next most logical option is to be able to add something that helps you contend, if not this year necessarily, beyond. And I like Miami's bench. I like Miami's depth. And those players, while not maybe superstar-level players, are impactful and productive, and they would go in there with a clear hierarchy of Steph, Clay, and Draymond, particularly Steph, and then be able to figure out their role very effectively. It's why a lot of people project Josh Richardson to thrive in Philadelphia, is that he's more of a secondary scorer, a secondary playmaker, not a lead guy.
And I think a lot of people look at Minnesota as the obvious landing spot for D'Angelo Russell, but only because they super want D'Angelo Russell. I don't know that they can put a package better than that. We're talking about a deal centered around Robert Covington? Yeah. That doesn't beat Justice Winslow and Goran Dragic. It just doesn't. Winslow has far more upside. Dragic is a far more productive player than Robert Covington. And I like Robert Covington. I'm just being honest here. Like, I don't know what else. Like, if you're Minnesota, you could throw draft picks in there. But if you're Golden State, do you want draft picks? Like, what good are draft picks? You already have your superstar players. It's all about getting depth now, finding veterans, guys who can contribute. And you're right. Know how to play the game already, unlike a rookie, and know how to fall into the hierarchy that's on that team already, that's established there. So, look, there's just names I wanted to throw out. Russell's not on the trade block. Gordon Hayward's not on the trade block as of yet, but we get these questions all the time. You know, who are the next guys made available? I still don't think that Bradley Beal is a realistic option for Miami. I think that if and when the Wizards decide to trade Bradley Beal, there are going to be far better offers on the table than anything Miami can compete with. The only way that he'd get Bradley Beal is in 2021 as a free agent. But they've got 2 years to make some moves on the fringes here, or possibly land that second superstar, Jimmy Butler. These are some names that could be options that could end up being available at some point sooner rather than later. So, and I'm sure there'll be other guys that we haven't even talked about that'll sprout up between now and 2021. But that's it for us today. You can connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Wrap it up, B.